This is Hafiz. To the subway, I saw a man on the ground. He sat on the sidewalk under trees with his feet out to the quiet street. Four others were there, a young man busy with a phone, a young woman, a baby in a pram, a girl who was with the woman. There was a stillness in the scene as in an altarpiece. There was a helpless air in those who stood around him. The seated man was closer to 60 than to 50, dressed in an ordinary way, a button-down long-sleeved shirt, trousers. His right hand was inside his shirt. He clutched at his heart and winced. The young man with the phone said, "He's having chest pains. Earlier, he said he was having chest pains." "Is it a heart attack?" "I don't know. Did you call 911? He hesitated. Then he said no, and that maybe I should. The man on the ground grimaced and did not look up. He gave no indication of being aware of our presence. He was tranquil, wordless. The tears were falling from his eyes. Christopher Logue, all day permanent red. "Or are they only asleep? They're too tired to sleep. The tears are falling from their eyes. The noise they make while fighting is so loud that what you see is like a silent film. And as the dust converges over them, the ridge is as it is when darkness falls." I called 911. The dispatcher put me through to the EMTs. I told them where we were and what I had seen. When I finished and had hung up the phone, I tried to talk to my man on the ground, but his sound lacked all sound. "Why tears?" "Because light is beautiful, because we do not wish to leave something and stray away into nothing. Because we have some dim awareness that being alive is better than being dead, which might be nothing, which might be nothingness." The man leaned back, further back, lay his head and shoulders on the concrete, softly, and closed his eyes. He was very still. Dead, possibly. Coming close to take his pulse, I smelled alcohol. His tear-stained cheek shone. I placed a thumb on his wrist. His hand was cold. After a few moments, I remember that the thumb has a pulse of its own, so I placed instead two fingers on his wrist. Distracted by the young man with the phone, the young woman with the pram, the girl, and by my own presence, I was unable to concentrate. I tried again, and finally faintly felt through my fingers the blood softly throb. And only then did I also notice his chest subtly rise and fall. The ambulance arrived sirenlessly about 5 minutes later. Two EMTs came out of the vehicle, a man and a woman, both young and slender. The male EMT had a beautiful name, which right away I began to forget. Ahmed or Hamid or Aziz or Hafiz. I told the EMTs what I had seen. They were calm and uninterested, concerned only to have their own questions answered. How did he get into that position? He lay down there. Lay how? Did he bang his head? He lay down there like someone going to sleep. He didn't hit his head on the ground. No. They worked with Homeric clarity. In each unwasted gesture was the message, "It's always someone's turn, always someone's bad day." The female EMT knelt down and checked his pulse with two fingers at the throat. Ahmed, Hafiz, shook him by the shoulders and spoke to him. No response. With my help and the help of the young man, he's lifted onto the stretcher. He dips into present tense. His eyes slit open for a moment and close again. A white froth appears around his mouth. His eyelids glisten. "I know him," the young man said. "I've seen him around. Drinks a lot." Without a word to us, the EMTs lifted the stretcher into the back of the ambulance. And without a word to us,